Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning at KCC. It's great that you can join with us. And if it's your first time visiting with us today, an extra special welcome to you. Well, today is the first week in November and the year is moving on so quickly. But this morning we're going to start a new series all about discipleship. And this morning's talk is going to be focused on prayer. Boris Johnson gave an announcement yesterday about an upcoming lockdown, national lockdown, to begin this Thursday. And what more do we need to do than pray at this time? Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you are a prayer answering God. We want to thank you that you hear our prayers and that, Lord, that you have the ability and the power to answer them. Lord, I pray that as we listen to your word this morning, God, that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would move us to want to pray more, God, that you would move us to want to be in a closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Just like to share with you a few notices this morning. Online church is quite a new thing for us here at KCC. We've only been online for a few weeks and we're going to be looking at how we can develop this going forward. So starting next Sunday, after the morning meeting, we'll be having a Zoom coffee time. We'll give you enough space to go and grab a coffee after the service and come back onto Zoom, back onto your laptops or your phones, and come and join us. And let's just share in some time together, meeting up online face to face. During these times, during these Sunday coffee times, the last Sunday in each month is going to be a time of communion where we share communion together online. So we'll give you more information about that and more information about how you can log on and join with us for those meetings. We're going to start a weekly prayer meeting at KCC on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. It will be done on Zoom. We'll give some more information about how you can join that, and that's going to start on the 10th of November. Every Thursday, I'm going to put together a playlist of worship songs so that we can have a worship time. It'd be great if you could engage with that at home. It will be on YouTube and you'll be able to link in just like you do for the morning services. And each week it will be different songs connected to the upcoming Sunday meeting. It would be great too as well if you could maybe listen to the worship songs and engage in the worship before the Sunday service on a morning, so that we can really be in a place of receiving and giving to God. Watch out on Facebook on Tuesdays. I'm going to be posting some podcasts from different people. It'd be great to hear from different people and hear the word of God. Just short podcasts that we can listen to at any time. We can listen to while we're cooking. We can listen while we're driving in the car or walking around. It'd be really great just to get the word of God in the middle of the week. And check out your emails, as I said, and Facebook for more details of what's coming up. This week we're going to begin our new series called Follow Me. Now, this new series is all about being a disciple of Jesus. And what does that look like? And how we can become more like Jesus, how we can learn from him, and how we can know God more. And this week we're going to focus on prayer. So when I first became a Christian, I found it quite difficult to pray. It was quite a strange thing for me. I didn't know how to do it. I could hear other people praying, maybe in church or in small groups, and I was sat there thinking, oh gosh, I can't pray like that. I felt quite intimidated. You know, people had eloquent words and their prayers quite flowed and some of them were quite long. And I thought, I don't know how to do that properly. I don't know how to pray. So when I was sat in a small group, I used to think, oh, you know, I'm going to have to pray at some point. So I'd think in my head and I'd practice round in my head a prayer and I'd think, okay, I'll wait for a gap to pray and I'll pray it. And then somebody else prayed my prayer. And then I would think, oh no, I'll have to think of another prayer now. It was a very difficult thing for me, especially being an introvert. It was hard for me to pray out loud. But it also felt a little bit weird for me to pray on my own. What do I say? First started with about 2 minutes. I'm thinking, oh, what can I do in 2 minutes? That's a long time to pray. And then it gradually went to 10 minutes. You know, how on earth can I pray for that long? But I did. I persevered. You know, our prayer lives go in different stages. Sometimes they're really solid and great and strong and focused and we're really disciplined with our prayer life. And other times it may fluctuate a little bit and maybe we're not as disciplined or focused and we lose that rhythm of prayer. And then we see the effects that it has on our lives, on our relationships, on our focus and the things that we look at and our perspective in life. You know, we're all faced with different lifestyles at the moment. With COVID restrictions, things have changed. Our personal lives have changed. Our community lives have changed. Our family lives have changed. And the world itself has changed. And it's had an effect on everyone. But how have you found your prayer life has changed? Has it changed? During this season, what does your prayer life look like? You know, we all have change of routines. Instead of being at work, maybe you're at home like myself, working mainly from home. Maybe you've got all of your family around when you're used to having space. Maybe your routine is all out of kilter. You know, I've had to really reassess my prayer, refocus and have a rhythm and have a different rhythm than I had before. What does my prayer life look like now? Now I'm at home every day. What does yours look like in the situation that you're in? If you were to put your prayer life on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not that great and 10 being absolutely fantastic, where would you place yourself right now? Can you think of a time when it was much better? Can you think of a time maybe when it wasn't as great and you struggled with prayer for whatever reason? There's a quote by F.B. Meyer. It says, "The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." You know, whilst I was preparing this message, I remember times when I prayed and God answered in sometimes really unexpected ways. You know, prayer will look different for everybody. How I pray and how I spend my time in prayer will look different to how you spend time in prayer and the next person spends time in prayer. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Some people spend hours praying in a quiet time on their own in a room. Other people maybe don't have that luxury of time and space and they pray on the go and they pray more like a conversation when they're driving or when they're walking or when they're at work in a quiet space there. Everyone is different and we all go through seasons of prayer. But one thing is for sure, that we all need to do it. You know, prayer is all about relationship. Prayer is all about talking with God. Not talking at God. It's not a one-way conversation. It's having that relationship with him. You know, one time me and my friend, we were at a restaurant and next to us, there was a married couple and they came in and they sat quietly and they looked at the menus and the waiter came and he took their orders. And this couple just sat there in silence until their food came. The food came and they ate it in silence. And then the man asked for the check and they paid for the meal. You know, all the way through the meal, the husband and wife didn't say one word to each other. And we talked about it afterwards about how sad that was, that they'd stopped that communication, they stopped talking, they stopped sharing, that intimacy had gone, that friendship had gone. But just to sit in silence and not speak and not to have that relationship was really, really sad. And that's what it's like with prayer. With prayer, we talk with God. We have a relationship with Him. So what does the Bible say about prayer? I'm just going to pick out a few verses from the Bible. The first ones are all about Jesus. What can we learn from Jesus and how Jesus prayed in the Bible? In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, at Jesus' baptism, it says, "One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy.'" You know, as Jesus was praying, the heavens opened. What an amazing sentence. As we pray, heavens can open. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles." You know, Jesus went up to a mountaintop and prayed the whole night, and then he made an important decision. You know, how many times do we make decisions? How many times do we make important decisions without taking things to God first? Jesus, led by example, he prayed the whole night and then he made the decision. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29, the Transfiguration, it said, "About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white." Prayer enables us to experience the glory of the Father. Jesus was transformed. The glory of God shone around. What an amazing thought that as he was praying. Just imagine what can happen when we pray. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it says, "He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" You know, at that time in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was facing death on the cross, he poured out his heart to God. And he gave of himself to God and just said, "This is how I'm feeling. But no matter how I'm feeling, let your will be done." You know, we can pour out our hearts to God and he hears us. In Luke chapter 23, it says, verse 46, it says, "Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, he breathed his last. As a young on the cross, even in the most difficult times, Jesus prayed." And that's such a great example that when we are facing difficulties in life, when it's at the worst point of our life, maybe when we're in dire pain, when we're in a situation out of our control, that we can call out to God and pray. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, on the cross, Jesus was praying for others when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He had compassion and he had a heart of forgiveness. You know, we can pray to God and ask God to forgive those who hurt us. And it helps us to forgive them also. In Luke chapter 11 verse 9 it says, "And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you." You know, Jesus was telling his disciples, Jesus was telling us not to give up in prayer, that prayer has an effect. It teaches us to be persistent, to keep on knocking. When we keep on knocking, that door will be opened and our prayers will be answered. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth." Jesus intercedes for us, asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to commune with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to walk. He wants the Holy Spirit to be our helper here so that we can do the things of God. Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us and asking the Father to help us. What an amazing thought. In John 17, verse 19, it says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but for you, but also for you, all who will believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As for you, are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." Jesus prayed for us, the church. When we look elsewhere in the Bible, in Ephesians 5, 20, Paul says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, if Jesus prayed, how much more do we need to pray? We need to imitate God. We need to imitate Jesus and learn from him. And in all things, we need to give thanks. In Philippians 4 verse 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he does and all that he's done." You know, worry can cause us to focus on the wrong things, to take our eyes off God and put our focus on the problem. But, you know, we need to focus on God. Pray about everything, leave it at Jesus' feet, and God will answer our prayers. He will take away all that worry and concern and give us peace that is sometimes way beyond our understanding. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, "Always be joyful." Sorry, in verse 16, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ." Never stop praying. Always be thankful in all circumstances, in the good times, in the bad times, in the sad times. Always pray. You know, George Muller, who's known as one of the greatest prayer warriors of all times, had this to say about persistence in prayer. "It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we do not enjoy them, as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the word of God, the less we desire to read it. And the less we pray, the less we desire to pray." As we pray, we learn. As we pray, our faith grows. As we pray, we desire to pray more. As we pray, we draw closer to God. I just got a few examples of times. I said earlier at the beginning that as I was writing this and as I was thinking about prayer, that God just brought things to my memory of times when I'd prayed and God had answered, and not always in a way that I thought he would, but a really really interesting ways, and just showing how prayer, God answers prayer in some amazing ways. You know, one time when I was a student and money was tight, often my car's petrol tank was very empty. I don't know whether you yourself can recall times when maybe money was tight and that petrol tank always was in the red. And one time I was coming back from university and I knew my tank was quite empty, but I wasn't quite sure how empty it was. And I was driving back and I couldn't find a petrol station. So I started praying. I'm saying, God, please let me get to a petrol station. And I was carrying on, and then one was shut, and then one, the one that I was going to go to was shut. It had the tanker there refilling, and so I had to carry on to the next one. And I wasn't quite sure whether or not my car was going to get me there. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I believed that God could expand the petrol and let it last longer than it really should have done. You know, and as I approached the petrol station and I was pulling up just in front of the petrol pump, my car cut out, my engine cut out because the petrol had gone, and my car rolled up to the petrol pump. And as I filled up and I went to pay, I filled the tank right up and I went to pay, and the guy at the counter said, I was watching you and I was watching the petrol go in. I've never seen that much petrol go into a metro before. And I said, you've probably never seen a petrol tank that empty before. You know, God got me to the petrol station. A very simple thing. It's not a massive need in life, but right then and right there, that was my need. And I saw God meet my need. Another time, when I went on a mission trip, a short-term mission trip to the Gambia, I was a student and I went during my summer holidays. And we were based in a school and a children's centre, and we did all sorts of things with children within the community. And the school took registers, and when children had not been off for a while, they went round. The teachers went round in the afternoon and went to knock on doors and ask if everything was okay and why the children had been missing school. And we walked into one household and we went into the compound, and I said, oh, we'll bring the girl out, she's been poorly. And I expected her to come out and them to bring her out of the house walking, but they brought her out on a sheet of fabric, and they were carrying a corner, and this girl looked really pale and she couldn't speak to us, we couldn't rouse her, and she was really, really poorly. So we decided to pray, and we prayed for her. And we had a long list of children to see that day, and the teachers finished praying and they went, and I really believed that God hadn't finished doing what he was doing. And I said, no, God's not finished yet. God's not released me from praying for this girl. And so I was persistent and I was expectant because I knew that God was going to do something. And then I felt God say, it's done. When I looked at the girl, there was no change in her face. There was no change in her posture. They carried her back into the room on her sheet of fabric. And we went around the village and the town to the other children. Very strange, because I really believed that God was going to do something. I really believed that God had said, keep praying, and then said, you can stop now. It's done. The next day I was having breakfast and there was a knock on the door and they said, oh, somebody's come to see you. And so I went downstairs into the compound where the school was, and this little girl was just chatting to me, really bright and breezy, full of energy. And then she went away and she went home, started playing with her friends. And the teachers were all laughing and they said, you don't know who that is, do you? You don't know who that was. And I said, no. She says, that was the girl that you prayed for yesterday. The girl had walked about 2 miles to the school. She looked radiant. She looked like she got strength back in her body. God had done an amazing healing in her body. Another time, when I was a missionary in Sierra Leone, myself and a German couple went to the beach. Very rarely we went to the beach, but one day we decided to go to a really nice beach. It was quite a distance away, just to get away from everything and just to have a really nice chilled out day. We decided to go on the mountain road, which was a little bit longer, up into the mountains on a mountain track, because the main road that usually that we would use was full of potholes and was quite rough going and would damage the vehicle. So we went up on the mountain road. And on the way back, we spent a great day at the beach. On the way back, halfway through the mountain pass, the car started to clunk quite noisily underneath, and we had to slow the vehicle down. We were praying because it wasn't exactly a safe time when we were there, and we were thinking it's going to start getting dark soon and we don't want to be stuck on this mountain. And so we prayed that God would take us to the town, and we actually prayed quite specifically. We prayed because we said, as long as we can get to Wilkinson Road, which was the main road to our house, which was down from the mountain pass, as long as we can get to the main road, we'll be all right, we'll be safe. And so we prayed, God, let us get safely back to town. You know, we need to get back to this street. And God enabled us to do that. We came down the mountain pass road and we were crossing the white line onto the main Wilkinson Road, and the car suddenly stopped. And that was it. There was no way the car was going any further. And I just smiled and I laughed. And we were so specific in our prayer, as long as we can get to at least Wilkinson Road. And we crossed the line onto Wilkinson Road and the car stopped. And that really taught me a lesson about praying specifics. Actually, well, I think we say, as long as we can get back to our house compound, you know, but we had to then, myself and the female occupant of the vehicle, we had to walk back, and it was about a 20-minute walk across the along the main road to get back to our compound. But all that time, I was just smiling and laughing about the fact that God answered our prayer, but He answered it specifically. And actually, were we asking for the right thing? I was once confused and frustrated. I was working as a primary school teacher, and I always felt that as a teacher, that was my calling at that time, and that's where God wanted me to be. But I was confused and I was frustrated. I was working long hours and I wasn't seeing any effect that I was having for the kingdom of God in the role that I was doing. And sometimes we can't always see what God is doing in and around us. But God is always at work. And as I prayed this, and I was having a bit of a frustrated prayer and a bit of a moan at God and saying, you know, why am I here? What am I doing? The next day was parents' evening. And I was seeing about half the class. I was seeing about 22 parents that evening. And as we sat down and I started talking to the parents, every single one of them stopped me partway through talking about their children and said, do you read Bible stories in the class? And I said, well, we do have a Bible reading time, a Bible story time once a week. And because it's a church school, we read Bible stories in assembly. They were saying, right, so because my child has asked me to go out and buy a Bible because they want me to read a Bible before they go to bed as their bedtime story. And every single parent, their children had asked them to buy a Bible and read them Bible stories because they were their favourite stories. Not only were the children hearing Bible stories before they went to bed, but their parents were reading them also. The Word of God was getting into the homes of those 4 and 5-year-old children. I came away from that parents' evening just astounded at the way that God had answered my prayer of confusion and frustration had turned into a see what I am doing in the lives of these children and the families of the children at the school. You know, we have to believe that prayer can make a difference. and that God hears our prayers and that God has the power to accomplish what has been prayed for. So how can you pray? You know, you don't have to be eloquent. I talked about at the beginning of my talk that as a new Christian, I was quite intimidated sometimes by the eloquent prayers that people were saying. Sometimes simple is best. A simple, I love you, God, speaks wonders. You know, you don't have to be eloquent and long. You just have to speak from your heart. Prayer is a relationship, and it's a two-way relationship. We're not talking to God, we're talking with God. We need to listen to what he has to say. Give space, give silence, give listening time, and listen to the heart of God, because he will speak. He is speaking to you, but sometimes we have to stop and listen. Prayer is intimacy, and it should be as natural as talking to a friend, talking to a loved one. You know, when we start to build our relationship with God, praying and talking with him will become a natural thing to do. And it won't just be in a specific time, in a specific place, but prayer will be ongoing. We'll have an awareness of God's presence, and we'll pray and we'll talk to God constantly. You know, when we pray, we have to be real. We have to speak in our own language, in our own words. You know, I sometimes think that I have the throw the teddy out of the cot prayers. You know, and I talk things through God in a frustration, and really, I don't really want to do this, God, and why are you asking me to do this? But I'm talking that through with God. It's often when I'm scared, when maybe God's asking me to do something that I think I'm not qualified to do, or I think somebody else can do better. But you know, God knows best, and he always wins. We need to be consistent. We need to make time for prayer. We need to be proactive in that. We need to find that space every day to spend with God. And we need to make prayer a priority, even if we have to stop doing something else to focus on spending time with God. We need to make prayer our first port of call, not our last. When things arise or when something great happens, the first thing we should do is either pray to God or thank God. It shouldn't come as a last resort. You know, when we put God first and we pray to God and we put our things before God, then often times of worry and times of stress and times of outworking things become much shorter or much less, because we've laid them before God. We need to be disciplined. We need to set aside that time, and we need to make sure that we do pray each and every day. And we need to set aside space. Take away disruptions. Take away anything that might distract us. The TV, the radio, our telephones, turn off the sound, so that we don't get disrupted by telephones. Make sure it's a time when we're not going to be disrupted by our families or our friends. Sometimes that's very difficult. I know, especially during lockdown or during times of confinement, or when children are around and you can't really find a space in your house to find that quiet space. But I remember when I was at Bible college, I lived in a dorm, and there were four of us on bunk beds. And I was on the bottom bunk, and I couldn't find anywhere to pray that was a quiet space, because during the lesson times, after the lesson times, all the college bit was closed. And in summer, it was fine. You could go and find a space on the field. In winter, not so great. Too cold and too wet. So what I used to do is I used to put a blanket. I had some throws on my bed, and I used to tuck the throws round the edge of the bunk bed to cover it in, and I had a little light. And I said to my roommates, look, guys, when I'm when the covers are around, I'm having a quiet time, I'm having a space with God, please don't disturb me. And they got on with their lives around the dorm, and that was my quiet space. I found a space, it wasn't ideal, but it became really precious to me at that time, that it was a time when I could spend alone with God. You know, we should pray in the Spirit. You know, as we read earlier from the scriptures, Jesus prayed that God would send the Holy Spirit to be our advocate, to be our helper. And we need to pray in the Spirit and ask the Spirit of God to help us to pray in line with God's will. And we need to believe. We need to believe that as we pray, that our prayers can be powerful and our prayers can be effective, because we're praying to a God who can. We're praying to an all-powerful God who is able to do all things. You know, we need to listen. We need to hear God's voice. We need to wait for an answer. Sometimes that's not how we would want it to be. Maybe it's not how we would think God's going to answer prayers. Sometimes God will say yes to our prayers. Sometimes he will say no, because maybe it's not the will of God. Maybe it's not something that God wants for your life. And sometimes God asks us to wait, but we have to be persistent and patient. God may not always answer how you would like and how you would think, but he does hear your prayer. And the thing that we must never forget is we must never forget to thank him. Thank him in all circumstances for all things. So what would happen if we as a church and as Christians prayed continuously? What would happen if our prayer life was a 9 and a 10 consistently? What could happen in our lives? What could happen in our families, in our community, in Nottingley? What could happen in our church? What could happen in our country? If we all prayed, and we all prayed fervently, and we all prayed consistently, what would happen if we prayed with expectancy, expecting God to move? What would happen if we prayed with fervency? What would happen if we all seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit to pray in line with God's will? We could see our lives, our families' lives, and our communities totally transformed by God. You know, do we listen? And do we look for God's answer to our prayers? Sometimes maybe we forget to do that. We pray about different things, and then we forget to just look to what God is doing and what God has done. What prayers has God answered for you? You know, there's power in a praying individual. There's power in a praying parent. There's power in a praying spouse. There's power in a praying church. When we pray to God, God moves, and he moves powerfully. You know, we see God at work, and we are excited and we're expectant for an impact and a transformation. In James 5, verse 16, it says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So how is your prayer life? What can you change today to engage more with God? God is waiting to hear from you. You know, after the service is finished, if you want to head to Facebook, I'm going to put a post. What has God been saying to you, and what answers to prayer have you seen recently from God? Let us give glory to God, and let's share our answer to prayer and share what God is doing and give him the glory for all that he is done. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. It's great that you could be with us. One thing that I want to ask this morning from the talk that we've just had is, what one thing can you change to be more intentional about your prayer life? You know, prayer is all about relationship, and God wants to draw close to each and every one of us. And we have to remember that whatever we're praying for at this time, God hears our prayers. He's listening to our prayers. He's waiting for our prayers. Be expectant. Anticipate what God is going to do. And listen and watch for his answer. Have a great week. And remember to engage with Facebook. Write down your prayers. Write down your answers to prayers. And let's glorify God in everything that he's done for us.